Welcome to episode 9 of Armchair Donkeys. Fired up to welcome Joey J back to the show this week. The three of us had a pretty epic weekend in Boulder for our 20-year Big 12 championship reunion last week. With the exception of the donkey play of the season, where I went against my gut on a game that I called out on last week's show as a trap and stay away game. Instead, I followed the two of you guys into the slaughterhouse on the Oregon Ducks, +3, which leads me to a new rule. Rule number 3, gambling is not a team sport. Looking back at that play, you know, I think that it was probably a heart bet, Bob. We all wanted to see the Pac-12 have a representative in the Final Four. You know, and unfortunately, the Pac-12 likely won't have anyone in the BCS playoff again this season. And, you know, that one was never close, Bob.
Well, okay. It's great that you can judge my bet after the damn game's over. But up until the point, if we went back in time up before that game, I'd take the same bet because I thought Oregon was a much better football team getting points. I mean, nobody saw that game happening the way it did.
What did I say on the show last week, though? How I thought it was a trap game. Utah played a similar brand of football to Stanford, and Oregon has a difficulty with that style of ball.
Okay. And then where was your money at?
Well, so see, now that's the problem. Couple cocktails at the sink. You want to get charged up with the boys. And you know, so again, rule number 3, gambling is not a team sport.
Hey, now, I'll take the blame on this one then.
All right, fair enough. Now the play that you wanted to take, Joe, was the Buffs +6 on senior day at home during championship reunion weekend against the mediocre Washington Huskies. We're in the student section with all the boys at kickoff, and you said we should take the Buffs. It doesn't get any better than this, right? Well, I talked us out of it. Do you remember what my reasoning was, Joe?
You weren't drunk enough yet?
Yeah, you were going to freaking stay the course. You're going to follow your rules.
Exactly. I said we should be able to enjoy this game without having any action on it. And we did. You know, so I'm okay with that decision. But honestly, if we didn't win the turnover margin where we were 4-0, I think Washington would have covered that game easily. So technically, I think that was a smart stay-away game. And we've also determined that betting with your heart is a big no bueno. Now, staying away from that game was a decision that I made when I was sober. Like I said, we had all those drinks at the sink, and I got a little fired up and hammered the Ducks. So, you know, I'm gonna blame that one on you, Bob. You had your first donkey week of the season with losses on the Ducks and the Raiders, but you're due for a comeback this week. You and Joey are both seeing something in Stillwater on Saturday. The Okie State Cowboys are 4.5-point favorites at home against their in-state rival, Oklahoma Sooners. The over-under on this game is 49.5. Who do we like there, Bob?
I'm an Oklahoma State fan this weekend. I think OU has some issues. Neither quarterback is playing great. You know, there's rumors that Lincoln Riley's being courted by a few programs, especially now that Mel just signed that big extension in Michigan State. That LSU job's, you know, an attractive job, and Lincoln Riley's name's all surrounding that. So I think Oklahoma State's got an explosive offense. OU's just a little not overly consistent, right? And so this being in Stillwater, Bedlam, all the things, Oklahoma State, you know, I think the winner wins or – you know, I think they both have one loss. So whoever is you know, pushing forward in the Big 12. I'm rolling with the Pokes, the Cowboys this weekend.
Joe?
Love it. Yeah, that's my lock, man. And I'm going to go with the over too. I think it's 49.5.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, I like Oklahoma State. I like their defense. They've played rookie quarterbacks the last 2 weeks at TCU and the guy at Texas Tech. They shut him out. I think I saw a stat earlier. Those two quarterbacks were like 19 for 40 for under 200 yards and 10 sacks. So, you know, offense sells tickets, defense wins championships. So, you know, I'm taking them. I'm taking the over.
And do either – is this a potential – I mean, obviously it's got huge Big 12 implications, but do either of these teams, if they win out, have a shot at the Final Four? I'm thinking, yeah, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, Cincinnati, they get beat once, they're gone, and they're not coming back, right? You know, the Big Ten, the way it plays itself out with Ohio State and Michigan, you know, and then the Big Ten championship. So, I mean, there's a lot of ways and scenarios that these one-loss teams can gain a second loss where a one-loss Okie State team sneaks in. So, I mean, there's a lot riding on this. It's not just because it's Oklahoma, Oklahoma State. I mean, it's the rest of their season and getting into that playoff.
Do we think that a two-loss Oregon team can sneak in if they avenge that loss in the Pac-12 championship against Utah?
No.
No shot?
I don't think
so. No, because they might lose to Oregon State this weekend.
Is that a sneaky play, Joe?
It's out there, dude. Just, you know, if Oregon State shows up, I'm not touching it, but I like it a lot.
I don't think the Pac-12 is good enough for a two-loss team to be in the Final Four.
Even though Oregon went into the horseshoe and waxed Ohio State.
Great.
Too early in the season.
Look at them now and look at Ohio State now. Yeah, and I'd be interesting to see what Ohio State does to Michigan.
Well. Joe, Bob and I were talking about Mel's contract. Did you see what he got?
No. Well, last I heard it was like 9 years.
He got 10 years, $95 million.
Wow. And then I think the guy at Penn State just extended too for
he 10 signed
years.
A big extension too, yeah.
Where is the Big Ten coming up with this money where like we can't get anywhere close to that?
There was a whole article about the two donors, Michigan State alums, that are putting up the money for this contract. They're both like former basketball players, walk-on basketball players. One inherited a big mortgage company, I think, and the other one created a, you know, is founder, CEO of something else that's exploded. And I mean, the whole article was just about these two guys coming up with the funds to allow this extension to happen.
That's a lot of dough.
A lot. You know what? But think about that, right? Like, he was the front runner for LSU. James Franklin was supposedly the front runner for USC. So now both those guys, so, you know, that opens the world up to two pretty damn good jobs that are available in college football.
Yeah, and that's going to be the mark for sure. I don't know.
Right.
They're talking USC, the guy from Cincinnati maybe. So either Cincinnati's going to they're going to have to pony up and make an offer that tries to keep him. But
besides Bone being the guy that hired him at Cincinnati and now him being the AD at USC, I just don't think – I mean, Fickell's a great coach. I just don't see him fitting in at SC, you know, going to the Buffalo Club on Saturday nights with Bo.
All right. Well, speaking of the Buffalo Club – I've hit 7 games against the spread in a row in the Mountain West Conference, and I'm riding with my horse again this week. UNLV is getting 18 points at Air Force. I've successfully hammered UNLV and the points 3 weeks in a row. Air Force, they're a good football team, but UNLV is competing this year, and they're getting better every week. They've had the best recruiting class in the Mountain West 2 years in a row, and their athletes are starting to show up on the field. They've got a lot of team speed. And really, in my opinion, two brilliant minds calling plays on both sides of the ball. They have two quarterbacks who are capable of making the throws. And the only reason that I see this line being at 18, in my opinion, is because you have a 3-8 team on the road against an 8-3 team at home. Air Force is a running team. I think D coordinator Peter Hansen, who I've known since Little League Baseball, will have those athletes in positions to slow down that Air Force option attack. UNLV can slang it. They have playmakers on the outside. And if they protect the football, this Air Force team has no chance to cover that 18 against them. That said, UNLV wasn't able to protect the football against Nevada with 3 turnovers in that game where 2 interceptions were returned for touchdowns and they got hammered by 31 points. I will say this. There's a big difference in style of football that Nevada plays and the style that Air Force plays with that option ground game. Any thoughts here, boys?
The only thing that I always think about and scares me about the, you know, academies, and Joey can maybe speak to this more, is preparing for a team that runs the triple option, right? Because you don't see it ever, you know, maybe once a year since they're in the same conference. So, you know, it's so different than what you're used to week in and week out. That's the only thing that's glaring to me.
I'm with you on that. Go ahead, Joe.
I can remember with, you know, the Nebraska teams and Eric Crouch and preparing, and it's such responsibility type football that they can run it 9 times in a row for nothing. But on that 10th time, somebody takes the quarterback when they're supposed to have the pitch guy or whatever, and they're going for a big one. So, yeah, that always worries me too. I usually don't, you know, mess with any of Army, Navy, Air Force. But, you know, I have paid attention to UNLV, especially spending the weekend with you and Nevada. And I know that you know that conference and you know what's going on.
Yeah, I just power, you know, option attack. They are pretty quick tempo offense. They get in and out of the huddle pretty quick. So that's kind of like the similar style of running game that we used to have. We put a lot of pressure on the defense, so that can be tough for a defense. I just think that Peter Hansen will have those guys ready to play, and they'll probably lose, but I don't see it by being more than 18 points. Bob, take us to Lambeau. The Packers are a 1-point favorite at home against the Rams. The over-under in this game is 47.5.
Well, in Lambeau, Aaron Rodgers, as the season goes on and games get more meaningful, I'm a very big fan of him. The fact that they're still getting a point right now, which is a little surprising to me.
The Packers are a 1-point dog or one? I think they're a 1-point favorite. No.
No, I think they're getting a point.
Really?
I thought I saw that right before we started. But either way, right? At the end of the day, it's pretty much a pickup, and it may swing that way. But, you know, in regards to the Rams, they got all the talent in the world, but defensively the last few weeks, they just have struggled to stop people. And, you know, when you have a team playing like that and you got Aaron Rodgers playing quarterback at home, you know, that's I like the Packers in this game.
Wow, this spread opened at the LA Rams +3, and it's currently at LA -1. So something is.
Well, I think Aaron Jones is still out, which okay, but I don't know. I think Rodgers is just a bad dude, and he's at home, and the season is getting deep into it, and these are meaningful games, and he's gonna put this team on his shoulders.
Yeah, I think you might be right. 70% of the money is on the Rams right now. So, shit, I'm liking that, Bob. Joey,
don't blame me for this one, Bob.
I won't blame you. It's checking all the boxes. All right, Joey, let's go to Atlanta, where the Falcons are a 2-point favorite over the Jags. The over-under in this game is 46.5.
Yeah, probably the worst game to watch aesthetically of the week. There won't be a lot of people with their eyes on it. That's why I chose it. No, I followed both pretty closely because of my fantasy team. But the over-under's 46.5, you said? I'm definitely going under, and I'm definitely going Falcons. I had them at a pick'em. It might be a half a point. Jamal Agnew for the Jaguars is out for the year. He was one of their only big playmakers who could score some points. That's why I like that under. James Robinson's beat up. He's got a heel and a knee issue. Trevor Lawrence can't seem to get the ball to Chenault on a consistent basis. I mean, I'd like to see our guy get a little more touches, some reverses, something. But I just don't see them as very dynamic. Matt Ryan in Atlanta have been awful the last 2 weeks, but he still has enough playmakers. He can still make the throws to beat the Jags. I see them bouncing back, and that's my lock in the NFL for sure.
Bob, anything on this one?
Not going to watch it.
All right, I will tell you guys this. As it stands right now, 98% of the spread money is on the Falcons. 56% of the money line money is on the Jags. You know, we'll see how that shakes out closer to kick. I think the Jags have a chance to win this one.
Where's this one at?
Sorry. It's in Atlanta.
Side bet.
I'm going to wait until kick, and then I'll text you.
I like it. I like Atlanta at home better than on the road, that's for sure.
All right, boys. Well, I've hit my last six NFL games in a row against the spread. It's a little early in the week to lock in my plays right now, as I've implemented a new strategy over the course of the last couple of weeks. So, you know, you really need to follow our Instagram story at Armchair Donkeys right up until kick, as I won't know which way I'm going until the public money settles. When 80% of the spread money and the money line money is bet one way, I'm going the other way. And it's as simple as that. With that, let's go to the backup quarterback Turkey Bowl. Andy Dalton and the Bears are in Detroit against the pride of the Eastern Kentucky Colonels. Tim Boyle is starting at quarterback for the Detroit Lions this week in place of Jared Goff. Detroit is a 3-point dog at home in this one. You know, this game isn't worth watching, but it's got a lot of action on it, and over 90% of the public thinks Detroit is going to get their first win in this game. Public has been wrong all season, and for that reason, I'm rolling with the Red Rifle on the money line to keep the Lions winless in this one. Any thoughts on this one here, guys?
You know, I don't think Andy Dalton's a bad quarterback. I just think Matt Nagy's handled that situation terribly from day one. So I think they'll play fairly well offensively, to be honest with you. It's just a matter of, can this kid that's coming in for Goff put any points on the board? But I'd love to see the Lions get the first win of the year. Yeah. But I'm probably leaning towards the same way you're going on this one, Bo.
Did you guys see at Matt Nagy's son's football, high school football game, the crowd is chanting to fire him?
I think I saw they were doing that at the Bulls game too.
Oh, brutal. They had
a chant going to fire him.
Absolutely brutal. The only thing I will say about the Bears is Mac is out for the season, obviously. Akeem Hicks? What's the other guy's? He's out. They're pretty banged up on the defensive side of the ball. Who knows what this kid – I've never even heard of Tim Boyle. So it'll be interesting to see what this guy's got. All right, Bob, take us to Baltimore. The Cleveland Browns are 3.5-point dogs at the Ravens. The over-under in this game is 45.5.
I like Baltimore at home every time Baltimore is at home. I think Cleveland is in a – they're in a tough spot right now. Baker Mayfield is not healthy. He's not playing well. They're not protecting him. And now he has issues with their fans, and he's calling them out, and his wife's calling his teammates out on Instagram. I mean, who knows how that cycles through the locker room. But I like Lamar and the Ravens at home against this just a struggling Browns team. Baltimore's got too much power, with Lamar Jackson at home, they'll find a way to cover this.
What was his issue last week? Why didn't he play in the game last week? Was it COVID related or?
No, it was other illness related. I don't know if they ever said what it was, but it wasn't COVID.
Yeah.
99% of the money line money is currently on the Ravens in this game. That's something to keep an eye on. As the week rolls on, Joey, your squad, the Philadelphia Eagles, are a 3.5-point favorite at the New York Giants. The over-under in this game is 46 points.
Yeah, I like the birds again. I feel like they were listening to me last time I was on and I was talking about run the ball. You know, I think Sirianni was listening, or he got on the left a comment for me. No, they're smashing people, dude. Their offensive line is slapping people. They rushed for over 175 yards in four straight games. They've got Miles Sanders back, looking good, and all this is helping Jalen Hurts develop, and he looks like a different quarterback than he did 3 weeks ago. I mean, they are coming off the ball, hitting people in the mouth. He's play actioning. He's running. He's on time with Goddard, who just got a big extension. And the defense is playing this bend, don't break, but they're starting to get some pressure too. They're starting to get turnovers. Darius Slay's got two pick sixes. Big play Slay. And the Giants are a hot mess. They just fired Jason Garrett, I think, yesterday. Their offense, Daniel Jones can't seem to get the ball to his playmakers on a consistent basis. He turns it over. I'm expecting them to go base bones. I think Freddie Kitchens is taking over the play calling duties. Saquon is a shell of what he used to be. I mean, you can see it. He doesn't have the bounce. He doesn't have the quicks, and it's understandable.
Did you see the stat that said since mid-2020, can't remember the exact date, but Saquon and Baker Mayfield have the exact same rushing stats, like 27 carries for 220 yards and two touchdowns.
For sure. All the fantasies that drafted him won. Yeah.
Just brutal. Yeah, the Giants are really in trouble.
Yeah, they're a mess.
Joey, you know, I think that – Go ahead. I just think that as an avid fisherman, you know, with both bets on the East Coast Birds this weekend, I'm guessing that your spirit animal likely has wings, bro.
Let's go.
You love your birds.
Listen, I do. And I did think Atlanta and Jacksonville was the worst game of the weekend, but I forgot the Bears and the Lions played. So
yeah, that game's gonna be awful as well.
The only only thing that makes it watchable is the first thing tomorrow morning.
It's
9:30 a.m. on Thanksgiving. Let's kick it off with Dalton versus Boyle. Sweet, sign me up. I'll be sleeping until halftime.
You're not getting out of bed for that one, Bo?
No, I might. You know what? I will wake up in bed and I will check and see where the money is. And if there's an opportunity there, I'm going to take it. All right.
Johnny Boyle, I'm going to check down to Hawkinson like 12 times. So.
Wow, you got him on your fantasy team?
Yeah. Yeah, and this is a must-win week.
All right, I'm going to close this out. I've got a two-for-one here for you guys. 70% of the early money is pouring in on Tampa Bay, -3 in Indy. I love what I'm seeing out of the Colts the last couple of weeks. If I have a chance to fade the public here at home getting 3 points, I'm going to hammer the Colts +3 in this game. Any thoughts here, guys?
I love it. I think they are they're one of the better teams in the league. Their offensive line is incredible. Wentz is playing back to the way he played, you know, the year with the Eagles. They look like one of the top three or four teams in the NFL right now. I love that.
Especially going into Buffalo, who, I mean, we all thought, the whole world thought Buffalo might have a shot, and they still might have getting to the Super Bowl. But yeah. Damn.
Culture legit.
Here's the thing, dude. I've seen a lot of Carson Wentz, and don't let him get down by 10 or 14, not be able to run the ball, and him have to try and, you know, bring somebody from behind and make some plays. I mean, he can make them, but he'll make some knucklehead ones too. So that's the only thing I worry about. I love it too, though. I think Jonathan Taylor is legit. They're playing good ball on D too.
Darius Leonard's your guy. Isn't this Darius Leonard, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that's my guy.
Did you guys see the obviously it didn't work, but the Buffalo Bills practice last week, the head coach running around with a boxing glove on a stick.
Oh, yeah, that was awesome.
All right, the other game I like right now is Miami +2 at home against Carolina. Yeah, this line doesn't make sense to me. I think Cam Newton is washed up. 82% of the spread money +63% of the money line money is currently coming in on Carolina. If that holds up, I'm hammering Miami +2 at home. Bob, you and I took them the other night at home on Thursday against the Ravens, who I think is a much better team. I believe Miami, didn't they beat the Jets last week?
Yeah.
So they're on a two-game winning streak. Any thoughts on this one here, guys?
I like them at home too. They're a different team at home than they are on the road. So I like where your head's at on this one.
Joe?
Yeah, I don't know, man. I'm not a huge Cam Newton fan at all. I'm anti-Cam, but I've been watching the Panthers. I think he was 21 for 29. I mean, he's completing some passes. You get it to McCaffrey, you get it to DJ Moore enough times, short little passes, nothing dangerous, and he's running the ball. Their defense is good, man. Their defense flies around. So I'm not a huge fan of him. I definitely think he's washed up, but if he can make these little Drew Brees, you know, 10-yard hookups, 5-yard outs all the way up and down the field, not turn it over, yeah, I won't touch it.
Well, I'll tell you this much. If the money holds up where it's at right now, I'm betting on the Zebras, and I'm hammering the Miami Dolphins +2.
I gotta tell you, I'm watching that stuff now from this past weekend, man. You are on to something, yeah.
I got both of y'all watching it.
He says he's got the fixes in on this one. Oh, it's not in on this one. So there's some interesting stuff.
All right, guys. Well, that's all the time we have for you today. Joey, thanks for joining us today. Happy Thanksgiving, boys, to you and your families. And happy Thanksgiving to all you donkeys out there. Please give us a follow at Armchair Donkeys to get our weekly plays in real time on our Instagram story. And hit that YouTube subscribe button to stay up to date with next week's episode. Thank you guys for tuning in. Great to spend some time with you guys the last two weekends. And hopefully we can get to do it again soon, guys.
Happy Thanksgiving, boys.
Happy Thanksgiving, fellas. Later, man.
See you guys.